You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hello and welcome. Welcome back to another episode of Black Hair in the Big Leagues, you guys. My heart is on fire today. My guest today, oh gosh. She is a breath of fresh air. If you have ever been in the room with this woman, she has such a presence, a light, a joy. Did I mention presence? She cannot be ignored. She is so tall and gorgeous and stunning and talented and kind. She got her BFA in acting in Kentucky. She is a certified life coach. She was on tour with Beautiful, the Carole King musical. Come on, Beautiful tour fam. And she was also on, before the pandemic, was on tour with Once on This Island. You guys, please help me welcome my beautiful sister, McKinley Alden Abraham.
Yay! Thank you. What an intro. What an intro.
Mickey, yes. You. Me. You're so beautiful. And I've only gotten the pleasure of being in the same room with you a few times, a small handful of times, but I automatically feel anybody who was in Beautiful that we're automatically fam.
Yeah, absolutely. I say that all the time. I'm like, it's the beautiful fam, you know.
It's a beautiful, even the first time you met me. And by the way, I know it looks like this recording is looking like it's recording in very pixelated. It will finalize in HD. So don't worry.
Amazing.
Don't you worry, girl. But even the first time I remember like meeting you, you were just so warm. Warm and kind and open.
Yeah, I think you had actually, I think the first time we met was at a bar when I was out on tour, and you, I don't know if you remember this, but you came up to me. You were like, it was for Sue's birthday.
Yes. Oh my God.
Yeah. And you came up to me and you were like, hi, we haven't met. And that was right. Like, I think as soon as I had just joined, like shortly after I had joined tour, and I had just come from like a really terrible contract, so I was like very, very happy to be where I was, and very like so it makes sense that you say, you know, I met you, you were so warm. I was just real happy to be there. Like real happy to be there. Yeah,
isn't that like an interesting idea and thought? When we're happy, it's easy to be kind and warm.
Absolutely. Yeah,
and also the converse is kid could be true. Hurt people.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think I've gone through the full gambit of that. Like I've been the hurt person and I've been the happy person. So listen, I understand that.
I am in awe of you because you've got your toes dipped in a lot of different places and you're so multi-talented. And during this pandemic, wait, you'd already been certified for life coaching?
Yeah. It's an interesting story. I was working on a cruise line, and this is kind of what I call my inciting moment of my life and my story. As I was working on a cruise line, and I experienced some like intense body shaming on this cruise line. It wasn't even so much, you know, this is a cruise line where they weigh you every week. And there's a lot of cruise lines that do that. And I knew that going in, but it
this
was
like not one of them.
No, this was a cruise line that I was weighed every week. And I knew that was going to happen. It's, you know, kind of par for the course in some of these cruise line contracts. I knew I signed the contract. I went on it. But after that, it was like the body shaming that was coming from my supervisor and like literally being told that I couldn't do a lift because I was fat, like after being cast already and not hiding my body and doing the shows. And I kind of had this moment where that was like my first quote unquote big contract, I guess. You know, I'd done like regional stuff and children's theater, but this cruise line, and it was like a dream job. And I got it, and I kind of had this moment where I was like, is this what the industry is? Like, is this what I've devoted my entire life? I mean, I've been doing shows since I was 7. So I was like, is this what I've been building up to? And I had this moment where I was like, I got to learn how to deal with this. Like, I got to figure out how to do this. So I got my life coaching certification when I booked Beautiful. So I was actually getting my certification while on the road. So I remember I would be doing like the homework in the gondola, like backstage and like different cities and stuff. And yeah, I got my certification in 2018. Yeah.
That is, first of all, horrible about the body shaming part.
I know.
That's terrible. And we kind of like know what we're signing up for, but at the same time, it's like, but there's gotta be a line, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I wonder what is about to happen when we come out of this pandemic, because guess what? Very few of us look the same, folks.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, I think the biggest thing with that is that like I knew, you know, when I auditioned, look, I wore like a sports bra and like leggings. I wasn't hiding what I looked like. I was like, look, this is what I looked like. And I got hired and I went through the whole like rehearsal process and all of that. And it was actually like a peer that was my supervisor. That was kind of like a captain, like a man, whatever.
Yeah.
And she was the one that was body shaming me. And so I was like, wow, like this isn't even upper management. It's like, yeah. It's not, no. But it'll, you know, hopefully, you know, we're going in a direction. I mean, that.
Right.
The article, the New York Times article. Saying that we gained weight. Hello.
Wait, I don't know if I know what article.
You don't know about this?
No.
Girl,
what?
The New York Times. It's been edited. It's been edited now because there was such a feedback. Yeah, it came out yesterday, I think. Oh. And it said that, you know, Broadway may not come back when it's said that it's going to come back. There are a lot of things that go into it, you know, contract renegotiations, blah, 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 blah. And in the list of all of the reasons that Broadway may not be ready to come back, it says some actors have gained weight. That was in there in the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it got so much feedback and so much flack that it's now been edited out. But there are screenshots all over the internet. Like if you Google
how
it,
did I not
it.
See this or it's hear not. About this? Oh, this is ammo. I'm sorry. That's just yeah. ammo.
Isn't that? Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, well, our bodies have gotten us through so much. And like that's what we're being resulted to.
I feel like we can say that.
Right?
You don't get to say that about me.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Yeah. But right? I don't even know how long it was up. Like, because I didn't see it when it was up. I saw it after it had been edited and people, like friends of mine, were posting about it. And I was like, whoa. Yeah.
I'm over here like, I mean, I know my hips don't lie. But I just feel like you don't say that out loud on like – we know what our bodies are doing. Like we have to see them every day.
Right.
And this pandemic has been hard, folks. Like anyway.
Yeah.
That is absolutely a thing. I also wanted to just comment and say, I don't think I get to say I'm proud of you, but I am, and I am inspired by you because I've always wanted to be a life coach, but I've always felt like my life isn't perfect. So how do I get to tell somebody else how to like better their life? Did you ever battle that thought in the back of your mind? Or were you always just like, this is what I was born to do. Let's go for it. Like what, Mickey?
Yeah. No. So my dad is a life coach. My dad's a life coach. He's been one for a while. He's more, I think, of a, you know, like a religious life coach, like more faith-based.
Great.
And so I was raised secretly being life coached and like not really knowing it, I guess. And like my dad is amazing. Like I love my dad, but I think that was kind of always in my head. But there's definitely a stereotype of life coaches that we know what our, like we've got our lives together. So we're going to coach you. But that's absolutely not at all what it is. Like I've learned through coaching and the clients that I have and everything that it's really just like showing up and asking questions. Like it's just asking the right questions. Like that's all. Like that's all I do. Like I get on a call with someone and I'm like, okay, so tell me about what's going on in your life. And then they tell me and I'm like, great. So you want to tell me, for instance, I have a client that was like, you know, I'm feeling real nervous about applying for this job. And I'm like, okay. And they're like, because what about all these other people that are applying for jobs? What if they're better than me? And I said, well, that's an unknown. And I'm like, the knowns are person A needs person B to do something for them. And person A can't do it themselves. You're person B. So those are the facts. The facts are they need a job and you can do the job. So why are we worrying about the other potential person Bs? Like, like you can do what they're asking to do. So focus on that instead of these other people. So it's basically just, you know, bringing things that you already know to the forefront of your mind and being like, hey, remember that you actually can do this thing that you think you can't do. Like you actually can do it. It's in your mind. You know you can do it. You've done it before. So it's just asking the right questions and bringing things that have gone way back in your subconscious back to the front of your mind.
Yeah.
And that's it. Like I do not have my life together, girl. I have a coach and a therapist and all of this stuff. But
all
but
of the things. Me too.
Yeah. But it's just showing up and being an ear and talking it out. And I like to describe it as being a like I'm gonna hook your arm while we're running a marathon. Like while we're running, I'm gonna run with you and I'm gonna give you water if you need water. I'm not gonna pull you. I'm not gonna make you do it, but I'll be there. If you need water,
offering a banana
question or yeah, something like that. So that's kind of the way that I describe it.
Okay. And one last question about this, because you have, it's one thing to be certified to do something. It's another thing to make like a business and actually go forth and do something with that degree, with that certification. You have created Castle in the Sky coaching. Yeah. Like
yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's interesting. I used to have a blog like when I had just graduated from college and it was called Castle in the Sky. That was my blog, right? And that name kind of it came from I had a family member write me a very sad letter when I was like 12. She was just in a very rough place in her life, this family member of mine. And she told me that there were no castles in the sky and what you see is what you get and you know, all of the good feelings, like she had not experienced these good things happening. So
this is somebody older?
Yeah. Someone in my family. And so I got that and it just kind of stuck with me. But not in a negative way. It kind of stuck with me I don't believe that. I'm gonna prove you wrong about that. So that kind of became my brand, like Castle in the Sky was like my brand, my name of whatever I was doing. So it was my blog and then it became my life coaching name. And I actually have a Castle in the Sky tattooed on my arm in white ink. So it's like just for me and it's, yeah. So it's very much like a part of me. I kind of took that letter and was like, no, I'm not going to accept this as the negative thing that you're trying to give to me. And, you know, now as an older person, I'm like, ooh, she was struggling. Like she was struggling. Yeah. Yeah. So it's
and you can see that in hindsight and have that wisdom to back it up and all the things.
Yeah. So now I just kind of, you know, Castle in the Sky, it's all the things that could be, it's all the things that will be. And that's kind of what my brand has become, which I think is really great.
I'm so excited. I'm like, I need a life coach. I've hired my therapist recently. I'm like, it was complicated. He was so hot. I was so distracted. I know, man.
Mickey, it was horrible. I was so distracted. He's like, I can't even tell you. I might have to edit this out. He'd be like, hi, Solutia. How are you today? I'd be like, well, I just can't stop masturbating to you.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
He'd be like, huh. Well, how does that make you feel? Oh my goodness.
Oh my God. Yeah, I think that's the sign that maybe you need to go in a different direction.
Need therapy for my therapy. Let's go, folks. I know I'm a disaster.
Oh my God.
Like it is great having somebody, and this is, correct me, is this Mental Health Awareness Month?
Yes. Yeah. May is Mental Health Awareness Month.
Mm-hmm. All right. Come through May. And so I really just want to just say that and encourage, like, it is okay. It is okay. You don't have to be batshit crazy and out of your mind to get a therapist. Also, you can be.
Yeah.
And you can still get...
Absolutely. Yeah, I think you know, that's a big thing, especially with everything that's happened, like, in the past year. It's like, none of us, I think somebody said once, they were like, nobody knows how to be a human. Like, none of us have done this before. Like, I think it was a teacher of mine when I was getting my certification. They were like, nobody knows what they're doing. None of us have done this. So, like,
wow.
Of course we need help. Like, of course we need help. If you didn't know how to, you know, roller skate, you wouldn't go do all these ridiculous tricks and stuff without asking for help or teaching yourself. Like,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Okay. So I would like to ask you a question about your hair. First of all, it's in braids right now.
Yes. Yeah. We've got some knotless braids happening right now.
I love it. And for the audience who's like, what's that? What's knotless?
So knotless braids is, braids that have, I mean, what are they called? Box braids are with knots, right?
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm asking because I'm like, I should also know the answer to this.
I don't know how to explain it. So, like, knotless braids is not the opposite of knot braids. So like, box braids are when they like take the fake hair, like the caniculon hair, I guess, if I'm saying that right.
Yeah, caniculon.
And they go from the root. So they like make a loop and it's kind of like a knot, and then they braid it from the top to the bottom. So it kind of looks like you have little individual knots, I guess, where your hair is. So then the knotless braids, I think, now I don't know what, I couldn't see her hands while she was doing this, but I think she braided my hair a little bit and then fed in the hair.
So that it's better for your scalp?
Yeah, it's better for my scalp, and I can, and it doesn't hurt, because sometimes
it's
box
braids. It's not all tight.
Mm-hmm. So I can like put it up in like ponytails and not in like buns and stuff.
It's not pulling.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Ooh. They're way more expensive and they take way more time, but they last longer. So yeah.
Okay. First of all, they look stunning. I love them.
Thank you. Thanks.
Are they heavy? Are these heavy?
No, these are not heavy at all. Like, I I love me some hair. I love me some wigs and some hair pieces. I think I own like 25 wigs.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I used to travel with a bucket of wigs on tour, and I'm like slowly trying to get rid of them, but like, yes.
My trunk was full of wigs. Like, oh, absolutely. My,
how did we never tour together?
I don't know, but it would have been amazing.
We could be like, can I use that one? Can I use Clara? Did you name him?
Yeah. I would always travel with wigs. We actually had a wig party for once on this island, right before, like two cities before we closed. And everyone was like, well, I don't have a wig. And I was like, I have a wig. I have a sign out sheet. You write down what wig you take. I'm like, these are my wigs though. Like, yeah, but this isn't heavy, but to be fair, like, I put on some hair pieces that are heavy, so maybe they'd be heavy to the average person, but to me, I'm good.
We'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shana Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Okay, so we met way back when, and I remember in the bar, the time that stands out to me very vividly is when we were both volunteering for
the New York Musical Theater Festival. Is that what you're talking about?
Girl.
Yes,
I only remember the backstage. I cannot remember what onstage looked like. I don't. Yes, the NAMP thing. Yes. And half of your head was shaved then?
Yeah, it was.
Where does that confidence come from when you're just like, and we're doing this?
That's so funny that you asked that, because it literally had no planning whatsoever. So like my little survival job, like when I'm in New York and I'm in between my gigs and stuff, I work at a restaurant. I'm a maitre d'. It's a very fancy restaurant. And I'm like celebrity people come in all the time. Like, it's that kind of thing. And so I'm like standing at the front, and one of my best friends was the host and was standing next to me. And I said, Allison, I want to shave the side of my head. And then she said, okay, great. You want to do it tonight? I have clippers. And I was like, okay, let's do it. And so we went to her house and I shaved the side of my head. So I've always been that way. Like, I've just like gotten these ideas and then.
What? Mm-hmm. Wait. Mm-hmm. That is, okay, a terrifying thought. Mm-hmm. Like, from somebody on the outside being like, wait, you just decided, right? What other time in your life have you done something like, and we're doing this? Because that is terrifying and exciting.
It's just been my whole life. I don't know. Like, there's something, which I'm very thankful for, because like I was born and raised in Kentucky, like Paducah, Kentucky, very small town. And, you know, a lot of people don't leave that place. Like, a lot of people just, you know, stay. And I actually was on the Glee Project in 2011. So like, I met Alex Newell and all that, like did that when I was cool 19.
That's awesome.
Which was great. But a lot of people with that, they were like, you're just going to go to LA? And just, I was also homeschooled, fun fact, my whole life.
Whoa.
So
your whole life?
My whole life till college. College was my first day of school with like teachers and stuff. And I don't know. I just was like, oh, I'm going to audition for this TV show. Like, that was my biggest moment. Like, that was the moment of like, oh, I'm just going to do this. Like, I'm just going to do it. And then I did it. And so I've just always kind of been that person. Like, I get an idea and I do it.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. So from being homeschooled your whole life, for your first day being in a classroom with teachers and people, being like your first day of college. Mm-hmm. First of all, question number one, did the other students look like you or no? Like, were there...
There were three, including myself, there were three black students
including
in the program. Uh-huh. Including me. Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Go on. Ahead. Okay.
Oh, I was I was going to say it's funny because there were only three of us, and one of them, you know, we're like crazy best friends. Like, we're so close to this day. And the other one, we're also close, but her name's Kayla Pecchioni. I don't know if you know her or not, but she was on the National Tour of Book of Mormon. She was Mabalungi. Oh. We see each other at auditions all the time.
Yeah. Yes. I think I've met her.
Yeah. It's nuts. Cause I'm like, oh, hey.
Like,
and so you know, we were, there was some talent there.
Wow.
Three of us, but. Mm-hmm.
Was it ever a thing, like, and this might very much be a naive question, but like, so when I was growing up, there weren't a lot of black kids in my school, but I never saw color. I didn't know that that was even a thing until first grade when, like, I had a crush on a white boy and was like, I have a crush on you. And he was like, I'm going to stick to people my own color, Salisha. And I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And realize, did you know that? I mean, that sounds so dumb because you were so much older, but like, was it a thing?
It definitely was a thing. It's interesting because I lend my, like, quote unquote black identity a lot to beautiful, because I was, like I said, born and raised in this small town in Kentucky, and, you know, my mom's white, my dad is black. They moved us to this very centrally located place. Like, no one was overtly racist. It was just a lot of, like, passive aggressive racism that I didn't realize was a problem till I was older. But it was just a lot of, I'm Mickey. Like, I remember saying that. I remember actively being like, oh, I'm not black. I'm not white. I'm Mickey. Like, I just remember saying that a lot when I was younger. And then I used to sing country growing up, like country. I did like country music competitions. When I was on the Glee project, I was billed as a country singer. Like, that was my.
That's so cool. I have to go back and watch your episode.
Girl, I look real different than I do right now. I had like no hair, like the pixiest of pixie cuts, and like, yeah, very different identity there. But I didn't. When I went to do that, you know, I just had all my friends. My first black friend was in college. Like, I didn't have, you know, and I didn't know that I was missing that, though. So, like,
right, because they say, like, and I say they say, because I don't know, when you are raised in a biracial household, mm-hmm. This is just what I've heard, and so you can confirm or be like, no, that's not how it goes. But whatever race the mom is easy to, like, it's easier, it can be easy to identify with however you're, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think for me too, especially that because I was homeschooled and my mom taught me. So I spent a lot of time. I mean, my dad was definitely around, but he was working. My mom stayed at home with me and my sister. So we were like, I was only around my mom. I did, you know, community theater. There were no other people of color that did that theater. So it was just, I never noticed. I always knew that I didn't really quite fit in. I always knew there was something different and that people treated me a little different. Interesting. But I didn't know what, I couldn't pinpoint what it was. Like, you know, my dad is very much, you know, like, I'll play all the cards before I play the race card. Like, that's like my dad. My dad is like, I will give you all the benefit of the doubt. And then if there's no other option, I think we all know what's going on here. Like, that's kind of the way that my dad I was too. Raised. Yeah. So I never assumed that. I was just like, oh, I don't fit in because I'm taller than everybody else. Or, oh, I don't fit in because I'm loud and everybody else isn't. Like, that's what my mind did. And so I got to college and, you know, there were two other black people and I was like friends with them, but there wasn't anything really clicking in my head, you know. And then when I booked Beautiful and I was surrounded by more black people than I had ever been surrounded
and cast ever.
Yeah. I was like, this is amazing. And like, I kind of had this like, oh, there's like jokes and things being made that maybe I don't necessarily get. And that was like scary, but also exciting for me.
Because were still like in, like, we'll tell you whether the joke.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, like, I don't get these jokes about like, you know, like the going to the, like the cookout and like all these things. And I was like, I don't know what any of this is, but I want to know what it is. And, Mickey. And that was like a huge turning point in my black identity. And then of course, then I got to tour with Once on This Island. That's just all.
Oh,
of that.
There we go. Then here we go. Yeah, here we are, folks.
And here we are.
This is a sidebar to what you're saying, but I wonder what it would be like being in your skin and your shoes. Like, you are like model hype. Have you ever modeled?
No, I have not. I've not. I've only only theater. Like that's
okay. I just want to make sure that you heard yourself say that, so that like it sounds crazy. That sounds crazy to me.
Yeah.
Just so that you know. Okay. All right. Great. So you're gorgeous. You're so tall. You're so talented, and you mentioned you were like loud, tall, all these things, and I. This might not even be you. I just have this thought and I just want to say it out loud for any who needs to hear this. And maybe it's just me who needs to hear this. I don't really know. But all the things that make you different, all the things that make you feel like, I don't know if I totally fit in here. All the things that maybe you could possibly be self-conscious about. What would happen? What happens when we own all of those things? It's like, I have goosebumps just thinking about how powerful.
And you know what? I feel like that has been this whole past year for me is owning all of that. And it's been, and I think it's been through, girl, before 2020, I had like one coaching client, one singular client from when I had gotten my certification. And now I think in total, including group programs, I have like 20. And then I also work with a non-for-profit and I work with their staff and their board as well. So that's like 14 extra people.
That's so a full like, blown.
Yeah. And it's and a lot of it, you know, it's not like a this big like money-making thing because I didn't get into it for that. Like I got into it because we were all kind of stuck and like at home and yeah. I was like, you know, nobody has any money because we've all lost our jobs and who can get in contact with unemployment. And I was like, I'm doing nothing. So, and I have this certification, so I'm coming from a place of service. So a lot of the people that I'm coaching, I don't think I coach anybody for free, but these people have been like grandfathered in, like they're before it became a full-fledged business. I'm like, give me $20. I'll help you, like that kind of thing. And So I think that through all of that and chatting with these people and watching people grow, it's made me appreciate like what's inside of me. And plus, my partner is amazing. He's just the best support system.
Can we talk about it? He was helping you with your mic before this and all I saw was veins and muscles in that forearm. I was like, Salisha, you have a boyfriend. Like, I couldn't even see his face. I was just like, what is this testosterone arm in this shot? Mickey, you better live your best life, honey. Like,
listen, we're getting married next March and I asked him to marry me.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
When?
In October. Like
during this pandemic.
It's nuts. Girl, we were on tour together, right? Like, which we all know, tour relationships feel not like their real life. Like So then, but we were together on tour and then we quarantined together because this thing happened and we were like, what are we going to do? Like we'd been together for like a month or two at that point. So we were like deep enough. I mean, a month or two on tour is like a year.
True.
So we were like deep enough in to be like, well, I don't really, if the world is ending, I don't really think I want to go in opposite directions. Like this is, so we quarantined together in my hometown and we have been together ever since. And in October, I just had this moment. It was very unplanned. I had this moment. I was just sitting in the living room and unplanned, like shaving my head, where I was just sitting in the living room and I was sitting there and I was thinking about everything that was going on. And I was like with this Black Lives Matter things and, you know, the health of going to the grocery store, like you could get sick and, you know, pass away. Like, like we don't, this, the world is nuts. And I just had this moment where I was like, I think I want to be with you forever. And I just asked him to marry me. I was like, do you want to marry me? And then, he kind of was like, oh yeah. And I was like, no, I mean, I don't mean someday. I mean, like, do you want to get like marry me? Like legitimately, like, do you want to be engaged and get married within the next like year or so? And he was like, yeah. And that was that. And I always felt, you know, I've always had this thing inside me, Salisha, where I've been like, I've always had this thing inside me where I've like, oh, I would ask someone to marry me. Like, I've always kind of had that vibe about me. I feel like. Yes. And so also I'm pansexual. So I was like, it could be a woman, a man, like a non-binary human, like whatever. So
I think I knew this. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
You might have. I'm very open about all the things. So I was like, you know, maybe it could be whoever, but I'm not cutting myself off from asking someone to marry me. Like, why would I? And then I realized, well, the only reason I wouldn't have asked him is if I felt like I wasn't sure if he wanted to be with me.
Right.
So then I wouldn't ask. But I was like, I am sure that this man wants to be with me. So I'm going to ask him. And I asked him and he said yes. And now we're getting married next March.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What a journey. Oh my gosh.
My life is very interesting.
Wait, Mickey, I asked you, I was like, what other things have you done that were on Impulse? This is like,
I forgot about that one. Because that's my life. Because it's my life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think about them because, you know. Yeah.
Wow. This is so unfair. I have so many hair questions to ask you, and now I'm just like, tell me everything. Tell me everything about this wedding. Have you found a dress? Are you going to wear a pantsuit? What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to do your hair? Like, all of these things, especially since I just seriously started dating somebody. And so I'm like, what is this? I've uncharted territory. Never even. It's so, okay. You know what? Just, we're thumbtacking this. I'm going to have to call you after this call at some point. Can we hang out when you get to the city?
I'll be back in the city. Absolutely.
Yes, we can have a picnic. I hope my boyfriend's not listening. He'll be like, oh gosh. He was like, oh boy. That's what he would say. Oh my gosh. Okay. I'm so excited for thumbtacking that. I'm so excited for you.
We'll be right back right after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
So I wanted to hear about your hair journey because you did mention like having a pixie cut. Mm-hmm. I've seen photos with your hair being big and beautiful and natural. I've seen it in person with a head shaved. I've seen you with straight hair. What is this journey? Did you love your hair, your texture growing up, or were you like, needs to be straight? Like what? And then how did you get to where how you feel today about it?
Yeah. So like I said, you know, growing up, not a lot of brown folks around me. My family, my dad's family was in Paducah. But you know, there was just there a lot of prejudice happening on both sides of the aisle. I feel like in my, you know, I dealt with a lot of prejudice as a child from my dad's side of the family because, you know, we were the only ones whose mother was white. So, you know, it kind of came from both sides. Like we were kind of dealing with that. But my mother, we love her, but she did not know what to do with our hair. So initially she
– you have siblings?
My sister, yes, my sister and I. So she asked – I believe this is how it went. She asked my dad's family and they were like, oh, put a relaxer on it.
Of course. So, that's what I – yes.
Yeah. And so not knowing that – my hair is a much different texture. My mom slaps that relaxer on it. And that was what we did for a long time. Like I just had straight hair and my mom was really good at it. My mom did learn though how to braid, which I got to give her props. My mom would be doing these zigzag braids and like circle my, like she would do.
What?
When I would do a wig, like wig prep when I was very young, because I did theater from like age 7. So we'd have to wear wigs sometimes. And my mom would braid my hair like in a circle, like all the way around. Like she learned how to do this stuff. And she taught herself, Salisha, get ready. She taught herself on a broom.
What do you
mean? She taught herself how to braid with the broom
like,
strong. I don't think I understand. I don't understand.
You know, okay, you know the straw brooms, right?
Like, she taught herself how to cornrow on a broom?
Yes.
What?
It's nuts. I don't even understand how she did it, but she did it. And because she didn't have anybody, she was like, I'm not going to mess up this baby's hair and learn on her. Because I'm not going to make her sit still so I can look. So she taught herself. And then she started teaching other – my mom's like a pioneer here, right? She started teaching other mothers with mixed race children how to braid their hair. Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're giving mom major props right now.
Yeah, yeah. So my mom learned how to braid, and that was great. But, like, she also – it was like a, you know, an uphill battle too, because she was braid, but then she would also – relax it, right? So we had this thing going, and, you know, I remember from a young age, whenever we'd go to visit my grandmother, who, God rest her soul, lovely woman, my mother's mom, she would always prefer our hair to be straight. Yeah. And I...
It was a different time.
Yeah, it was just different times. And, like, now when I think about it, I'm like, oh, that kind of sucks. Like, yeah. Because whenever we would be going, it would always be, like, fresh relaxer, like, our hair is straight, our hair is... quote unquote manageable, like that is what it looks like. But yeah, we relaxed it for ever since I can remember, like all the years.
Yeah.
I wanted it different colors. So my mom
not the colors on top of the relax.
My mother did what I wanted. And I think that that's why I do what I want to do, because I came from a family that supported that. So I woke up one day and I was like, Mom, I want my hair to be blonde. And she was like, okay, let's do it. So my mom bleached my hair and it had relaxer on it. And it was horrible. Felt rubbery. It was bad. My mom freaked out. She like started like rinsing it out. And she was like, I'm so sorry. So we ended up going to this little hair salon, and they put toner on it, and they made it like this honey auburn thing, and it was fine, but my mom just always went with what I wanted, right? Like
she's over here in the kitchen with making a black hair salon, and she's just like, I don't know, this is uncharted territory, I'm doing the best I can.
exactly. And she did it, and you know, I've gone through all the colors of the hair, I had a period of time where I was obsessed with Rihanna's hair, so anything that her hair looked like, I wanted my hair to look like.
I love that.
We had like the angled bob for a while. We had like the fire engine.
She was doing everything.
She was doing everything, and I was doing it with her. I was there. Yeah. Wow. And I never got to the point where, you know, I went to college, and then I didn't have a mom to relax my hair because I was in college and she wasn't there. And I didn't have the money to get it done. And so I just kind of started ignoring the regrowth, but just straightening. I was just like flat iron. I was like flat iron. It's got to be straight all the time, because I didn't even know my curls existed. Like, I didn't even know. I'd never seen them. I didn't know it was a thing. And I remember I was doing a little summer stock contract in Indiana, and I went swimming, and I went swimming and my hair, and I got my hair wet, and we ended up staying at the place longer than I was planning on it. So my hair started to curl.
Okay.
And then I like went to the bathroom and I looked at my hair and I was like, wait, what is this? What are these curls? Where do they come from? What the heck? And then I was like, wait, what if I just, can I figure out how to like do this for like a style? Like, what is it? So I started like letting my hair air dry and like wearing my hair natural. And I never had to do a big chop or anything, because I had let my hair grow so much that like the relaxer was gone, and I didn't have a whole lot of heat damage because I was using like heat protectant spray and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So I never, it was like the chop was maybe like 1 or 2 inches. Like, it wasn't like a big thing. So the transition was really easy for me.
Wow.
And I was like, oh, okay. This is awesome. Yeah, I was like, this is it. And I have not, I think the last relaxer I had, I was like, I don't know, almost 10 years ago. Like, it was like 20 the last time I had it. And I think about it now and I'm like, man, I can't even imagine my hair being like that. And I started to love my hair. I started to love like
the curls and everything. And yeah, I've gone through all the things. Like, I've had the pixie cut, I shaved the side, and right after Broadway shut down, I had a power move, and here's another impulse. I let Alex, my fiance, shave my entire head.
Wait. How did I not see any of that?
Yeah,
how?
He shaved my head. There was like one photo I posted about what? It. What?
How did I miss this? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I need to look at this now. Yeah,
I shaved my head because I had always kind of wanted to shave my head, and I had an ex tell me that he would like dump me if I shaved my head because he sucked.
Because he's an a-hole.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I shaved it, and or rather my fiance shaved it. And it was amazing because I was like, I'm not doing a show. I can do whatever I want with my hair. Like, this is it.
You're so beautiful. I'm sorry. I'm just like scrolling through your page right now. I'm just like, you are so effing gorgeous.
Thank you.
Like body positive. You're like, look at my body. You got opinions? What? What?
Yeah,
like,
very much.
This
is close. It had grown out a little bit at this point.
Mickey!
Yeah.
And your fiance did it. So that to me is just like, this is real love. And you know what? You look beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you.
So it's not even just like, okay, I'm just shaving it now. No, it's like, yeah. No, like, you look great.
Yeah, it was very much a moment where he was like, we'd only been dating for like, I think like, this was a month into quarantine. So like in total 3 months, he was like, are you sure you want me to shave this? And I was like, get rid of it. I was like, shave it off. And he was like, okay. Like, yeah, but yeah. So it's, you know, I've done all the things with the hair and all the wigs and all the, I come from a place, you know, deep down of I just do in the best way possible. I just do what I want to do, you know, like I just, and I'm very blessed that I was raised in an environment where that was okay. Like for me to just do what I want to do.
It's powerful, Mickey. It's when you do what you want to do and you own what you do, you are giving other people permission to also do what they want to do or live their best lives. It takes one brave person to do it first. Something that somebody else has been having in the back of their mind. It's like all they need is to see one person who they like doing it. And it's like, oh, well, maybe I never needed permission to begin with, but I thought I did. But now I see that she's it's powerful.
Yeah, it's I feel more like, you know, it's so strange, but I'm very thankful for the year that I've had. And you know, I wish it was sans all of the awful things that have happened, but I'm really, really thankful for the time that I've had because I feel like I know that it has created this version of myself that I've always wanted to be, that was always like inside. Yeah. And now I'm like, oh, this is me. I deleted all of my personal social media. So the only social media I have is my Instagram that I use for my coaching and stuff. And I don't spend time just comparing myself to people, and I'm very protective of who I follow on my social media. So if someone's listening to this and I follow you, that means that you make me feel good.
Oh my like, gosh.
Otherwise I don't let that into my space. So it's been really great to, you know, experience this growth that has just happened.
I feel like a year or so ago, because I'm over here nodding my head, agreeing with everything that you were saying. And I feel like when this shutdown happened, I feel like we would have been like, what? What? I don't understand it. I don't want to understand it. What has happened? Like, get me out of here. Get me out of this alternate universe. And now with hindsight, obviously there are like awful things that are happening and have happened and all the things, but with a little bit of hindsight, we've all changed a lot.
Whether we wanted to or not.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of growth, and some of it is growing pains, but some of it is just like, oh, I need that. I've been needing that for the last 10 years, and it took this to get there. Yeah. You're inspiring. Yeah,
Thank you for joining me today on Black Hair in the Big Leagues, Mickey. I love you so much. And just like you sharing your spirit and your thoughts and your ideas and yourself. So thank you, girl.
Thank you for having me. This is wonderful.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.